the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
Amen. How many can say amen to that this morning? Hallelujah. The soul is at rest behind that inner veil. He has certainly provided a rest for us, and it would be a shame to not enter into that rest. It'd be a shame to go through this life struggling, worrying, fretting, anxious, when there's a rest that's available to those that will come under that shed blood. Amen. And allow him to come in behind the veil. Amen. So we're excited this morning to have our brother Andrew Glover with us once again. He's a good friend and fellow minister, and who hails from Faith Tabernacle in Virginia. His pastor is Sean Martin. And so they've come a long ways to be with us this morning. So we certainly want to take advantage of our opportunity to pull on whatever the Lord has for us. And we are thankful that his lovely wife, Sister Mariah, and their little boy Malachi was able to come also. So yesterday, I think, was probably the hottest day we've had yet this year. And they were here for that. We went and had a little fellowship yesterday. And I don't know about you. I'm hoping that, you know, temperatures will drop down again and just, you know, it's just a warning that of things to come, and we know it's inevitable, but anyway, we thank the Lord. So today is happens to be what the religious world is calling Palm Sunday, right? So it's the week before Easter, and it happens to fall on what we've been told was the actual day of Palm Sunday. It was April 2nd in AD 30, so it doesn't always line up that way. In fact, it hardly ever does line up that way. And if you don't know this, and even if you do as a reminder, the way that they determined when Easter would occur, it was actually at a council, the Nicene Council, in AD 325 that they got together and said that Easter is on the first Sunday after the Paschal moon, which is the Passover moon. And the Passover moon is it's supposed to be at the spring equinox, which is around March 21st generally. So this was patterned after the Jewish calendar. So the full moon date was the date of the Last Supper, which was also when the Passover was being observed, the Feast of the Passover, which falls on a Thursday. So because it's following not the solar calendar but the lunar calendar, Easter can occur as early as March 22nd, which is the vernal equinox, which ironically March 21st is actually the equinox, but and as late as April 25th. So it's quite a window that it swings in, and then just to add to the complexity, the full moon can be a day earlier depending on where you live, you know. So depending on when the moon is coming by, whether you're on this side or that side of the dateline. So we don't sweat the details on that so much. We do know that there was a date when he died on the cross. We do know that there was a date when he rose again, and we do know that it was a specific date that God chose before the foundation of the world. And we do know that he rose again and is alive forevermore. So we aren't going to get so much hung up over, you know, the exact moment or date or time we look at it. It's one of the, but it is one of the few holidays that we can celebrate without any inhibitions or caveats, other than we don't bring in Easter eggs or bunnies or any other such nonsense. But it is truly a celebration for us because he is risen. And there's many people that have died, but there's one that rose and is alive forevermore. Amen. And because he lives, we live also. So we are looking forward to doing something that's been on our heart for many, many years to do, and it's just never worked out for us, in particular to have an Easter sunrise service. And so, the Lord willing, that's what we intend to do this next Sunday. And we had no thought or idea of how special it was this year, because it actually falls on the day, the calendar day, in the day of the week that it did when it took place originally. So we're expecting a good time in the Lord, and just want to put all of our attention, all of our thoughts on him, and prepare ourselves for the time that we're going to have. Additionally, we're going to get to spend some time together up on the mountain, which is another thing that we've wanted to do for many, many years. We've tried to do things like this before, and all the camps that we've encountered, we'd get right down to where we're going to sign some papers, and they'd say, oh, yeah, by the way, we've got this rule and that rule. And rules like you are forbidden to speak in tongues at our camp. Well, I don't know about you. I don't premeditate speaking in tongues. I may not do it, but I'm certainly not going to sign up saying I'm not going to do it if the Spirit moves, right? So it's really, you know, I imagine they allow a lot of other stuff but they're so hung up on that and others, no praying for the sick. Well, there's no way we're going to sign up for that, you know. But at this particular camp, there's none of that nonsense that we have to be concerned with. So we're looking forward to it, and we're expecting to have a wonderful time. And if you haven't, hopefully everybody has indicated whether or not they're going to attend. I think that the deadline is passed, because there's only so many ways that you can put everybody in the different rooms. But if you haven't, I'd say, you know, there's maybe a very sliver of a window, and that would be today if you haven't reserved a spot. And as Brother Lucas said, we won't have a service here next Sunday, which is kind of rare for us. I don't know how many times we canceled a Sunday service because of something like this, but we trust that you all understand. Are you happy? Amen. Are you glad to be here? Amen. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Why don't you just turn around, shake hands with somebody, or fist bump, and say, I'm glad you're here. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. So, Brother Andrew comes this morning. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Blessed be your name, Lord. And so I live. I bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now. One more time with all your heart. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right. Hallelujah. And so I lift my hands and I bow my knees.
I need you, Lord, right? Oh, let's sing it one more time. How many needs you here today? Acknowledge our need of Him. Amen. There's a lot of things that we could do without this morning in this building. If the air conditioner wasn't working, we could still have church. If the organ wouldn't turn on, we could still have church. If the microphones went out, we could still have church. But if He's not here, then we've gathered here in vain. But if He is here this morning, then miracles can take place. Amen. Lives can be changed. Hearts can be turned. And I believe He's come here this morning to visit with us, don't you? Amen. Won't we just bow our hearts together in His presence as we approach Him this morning? And let's just ask Him to come and have His way among us. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we step behind this sacred desk, Lord, that Your prophet has taught us, Lord, that this is not a place of social. It's not a place of to play or a gathering of, Lord, religion or to do things that the world would do in a church. But, Lord, this is the house of God. Lord, this is the house of correction. Lord, this is the place that Your word comes forth. And Lord, as we stand here this morning, we acknowledge, Lord, without You, we can do nothing. But Lord, with You, we can do all things. And Lord, we invite You to come in this building this morning. Father, as the songs of Zion have been sung, Lord, we feel Your presence among us. We acknowledge You here this morning. We have felt the brush of angels' wings as they moved across the congregation. Lord, Your prophet said that when we come in the building that we, Lord, we didn't even pick the place that we would sit. But Lord, there was an angel that would guide us to the place that You would have us to sit, Lord. Now, Father, as we turn our attention to Your word, we realize this is a supernatural moment, Lord. Father, we've not come to be seen or to be heard. But Lord, we have come to worship the one true living God. And that's You, Lord. Your name is above every name. Your power is above every power. Lord, Your ability supersedes all human ability. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves into Thy faithful hands. May You come in this room. May You heal our sick, Lord. Those that would have a desire to be here, but Lord, for sickness or whatever they can, I pray, oh God, that Your power, Lord, You would reach down in their homes. You would reach down in the hospitals. You would reach down in the nursing homes, wherever they would be, dear God. And Lord, may You bring healing to their bodies. For those that are bound, Lord, I pray You would bring deliverance this morning, dear God. For those that have lost their desire to serve You, Lord, become cold and indifferent, I pray, oh God, Lord, that You would take a coal of fire from off the altar. And may You set it up on the lips of Your servant, Lord. And may they begin to say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me, oh God. Now, Father, we bless Your name, and we ask You to bless our brother Doug. Bless his family, Lord. Bless this assembly. Lord, we just pray You visit with us today in a special way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all the believers says, amen and amen. God, Richie, bless you this morning. Aren't you glad to be a Christian? Amen. You love the Lord here this morning. Amen. We say God bless you. If you have your Bibles while you're standing with us, we'll invite you in the scriptures. We want to turn in our scriptures to the book of Leviticus. The 25th chapter, we got a few places we want to read this morning. And while you're turning there, we want to greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say it's a real honor and a privilege to be here with you all again. And I bring greetings from our pastor at home, Brother Sean Martin. The saints there at Faith Tabernacle send their greetings to you. And we sure Sure appreciate Brother Doug and appreciate his friendship and his stand on this message. And we thank the Lord for friends. Amen. And we sure appreciate the time of fellowship God gave us yesterday with him and Sister Jennifer. And glad to have my wife here with me this morning, our little baby Malachi. I think they've stepped to the nursery, but they'll be back here shortly. And I tell people, if you haven't seen him yet, just hold on a few minutes and you'll hear him. Because he enjoys church. Amen. So we're sure glad to have them here this morning. And we just want to look here in the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter. In the 8th verse, the Bible here says, "Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, and 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of the year shall be unto thee 49 years. And then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month." I want you to catch that. On the 10th day of the 7th month, "in the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. And a jubilee shall the 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of the vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, and it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof of the field. In the year of this jubilee ye shall return." Somebody say return. "Ye shall return every man unto his possession." Now we also want to look in the book of Luke, the 4th chapter. Have a few places, as I said, I want to read with you this morning, Luke, the 4th chapter, and then we'll read John 8 and let you have your seats. But in Luke, the 4th chapter, I'm thankful to be studying the Bible under the voice of a vindicated prophet. Amen. In Luke, the 4th chapter, we want to look in the 16th verse. I know it's another very familiar reading to you, but the Bible says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up as his custom was. And when he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, we could stop there and say Jesus' custom was to go to church. "And where he was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written and said, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind.'" Notice this, "to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all that were there, a synagogue of them that were in the synagogue, were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. One of the places I want to look is John, the 8th chapter. And just one verse there, the 36th verse, John 8 and verse 36. Jesus here is speaking as the liberator. I believe Christ is still the liberator, don't you? It's not a man, it's Christ. And in the 36th verse, he says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Amen. We ask the Lord this morning to add the blessing to the reading of his word. As you can have your seats here this morning, I want to, by the help of the Lord, for just a few moments, if I title this sermon this morning, I want to speak to you on the hour of Jubilee. The hour of Jubilee. Now, Brother Branham preaches a message, 1962, and he calls it Return and Jubilee. And in there, paragraph 32, he says, "Now is the hour of Jubilee." How many believes that now is the hour of Jubilee? He says, "Come back to your original inheritance, to a real Holy Ghost again." Amen. Now is the hour of Jubilee, to come back, not to a hybrid inheritance, not to a denominational inheritance, but now is the time that's come to come back to your original inheritance, to a real Holy Ghost again. I say to you this morning, return and Jubilee. Now, when you look at this word return, it means to bring back. It means to allow to return. It means to put back. It means to draw back. It means to give back. It means to restore, to relinquish one's rights, give in a payment. It means to bring back, to refresh, or to restore. So in other words, when something is returned Amen. It's not wanting, there's something not wanting to give it back, but it don't have a choice. Amen. There's something trying to hold it back, but there's something greater that is causing it to turn loose of what it's trying to hold on to. Then you look at this word jubilee, and it means a special anniversary of an event. It is especially one celebrating 25, amen, or 50 years of a reign or activity. Amen. So when the prophet of God preaches this returning jubilee, he's actually in Shreveport, Louisiana, and he says it's been 50 years since this blessed Holy Ghost, amen, broke out on the congregation. Remember, and he said in the 50th year was the year to return in jubilee. In paragraph 20, he says, and at jubilee was God's manner of expressing grace to his people for restoring or being brought back to their rightful position. Amen. Jubilee was an expression of God's grace, amen, to restore or to bring one back to their rightful position. Another place he says, now I believe that this is the hour again of jubilee. In other words, I believe it's the time of jubilee. Amen. This is the hour. This is the time. This is the season of jubilee. I love how the prophet of God says it. It's the hour again of jubilee. Now, if you say something has happened again, amen, that means it's happened before. If you say something, amen, is happening again, that means it has happened before. So this is the hour again to jubilee. In Azusa Jubilee, 1956, he said, many hundred years has passed, amen, but the same God that sent jubilee in them days is the same God who sends jubilee today. Amen. So the same God that sent jubilee to the children of Israel, that sent jubilee in the days of the Lord Jesus, that sent jubilee, amen, in the time when the Holy Ghost fell upon the people in Louisiana, amen, is the same God that's sending jubilee in the hour that we're living in. He said, what we need is that today, my Christian friend, is a jubilee time. He said, the devil has taken many believers captive during this time. For instance, coldness, amen, and worldliness has slipped into the church. He said, but the thing we're here for today is in celebration of the old-fashioned Holy Ghost revivals that we used to have. Amen, that I hear our fathers talk about how the angels came down. Now, think about this, how the angels came down and they sang in the meetings and the power of God taken over and the saints were born again and great things happened. See, it come from old-fashioned, backwoods, sky blue, sin-killing preaching and that old sassafras type. Maybe men didn't even know their ABCs, but they know Christ and they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, that's what we're hungry for today is an old-fashioned baptism of the Holy Ghost and a pouring out of God's blessings. Amen. Back to the old line again. Amen. I tell you what we need is the old fashioned Holy Ghost. Amen. To break out in the church again. Amen. And that is what will bring jubilee. Listen. Amen. I know the world has so, they are so warped or so twisted. Amen. What brings a jubilee? They think it's a special preacher. Amen. They think it's a special idea. Amen. But according to the Bible, amen, God regaining the preeminence in his church. Amen. And becoming the focus of that body. Amen. Is what will bring a jubilee to that church. He said that I feel today led in my soul to make this proposition with the people. I believe if every one of us in this building today, amen, will rededicate our lives to God as Jacob of old was told by the Lord to wash up and get his people to clean themselves up, to present themselves before the Lord. I believe if we'll clean ourselves up from all of our evil thinking, amen, from all of our own selfishness, from all of our backbiting, amen, from all of our acts of this life, and come boldly before the throne of grace, amen, then I believe an old-fashioned revival will break right here in Angela's Temple, amen, that 1 week will never stop it. Amen. I say to you this morning, we don't need a new church to have a revival. We don't need, amen, a new building to have a revival. Amen. We don't need new programs to have a revival. But what we need, amen, is a rededication in our walk with God. We need a re-outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon us in our walk with God. Listen, friends, the Bible said that Enoch walked with God. You know how Enoch walked with God? He walked with the Word. Amen. He walked with God in the good days. He walked with God in the bad days. He walked with God when he was on the mountain. He walked with God when he was in the valley. Amen. He walked with God when he felt good, and he walked with God when he didn't feel good. Now, I'm just going to preach this morning, amen, because I think the devil, amen, is trying to creep his way right back in the church, amen, and bring our stability based upon our emotions. Amen. But emotions is not the stability, amen, of the bride of Jesus Christ. You could have all the emotions in the world and be the most unstable church member that there is in all the world. Amen. But if the word has come into the church, amen, by the restoration of the voice of Malachi 4, amen, then that word has brought a stability in the church. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what yesterday held, no matter what the future holds, you have come to a stability, amen, by the word of Almighty God. And that word has anchored you, and it has turned your focus, amen, from what's going on around you, amen, to the North Star, which is the compass, which is the word of God to lead the church, amen, from one dimension to another. Listen, friends, you may not feel like you're saved this morning, amen, but if you can prove it by the word, amen, then push beyond the feelings. You may not feel like you're healed this morning, but if you can prove your healing by the word, amen, then push beyond the feelings. You may not feel like you're worthy to go in the rapture this morning, but if you can prove it by the word, amen, then push beyond the feelings of the flesh and let the word come into the soul and let the word put a strength in you. Amen. See, we need a rededication. We need a re-outpouring, and that's what brings revival. Now, I love how the prophet of God shows us that our Christian walk, amen, on the earth is more important to us than we realize. He said it like this, Revelation 3:4, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, amen, and they shall walk with me in white. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. In Sardis in church age, he said, now watch, that is what God says he will bestow up on them for this upright walk. See, this is part of their inheritance that he has reserved for them. If they were willing to walk with him, amen, through the toils and the snares of life and be an honor to him, then he was going to reward them. He is not forgetful of our labor of love. Amen. God will always recompense us for our efforts to please him. Amen. Nothing you do for God goes unnoticed. Amen. No effort that you put forth, amen, in serving Jesus, in your walk with God, none of those things goes unnoticed. Now, amen, in this walk that we're talking about, amen, we are living a life. And I'll say it to you like the prophet says, the life we are living present, amen, is reflecting our inheritance in the future. Amen. The life that we are living in the present is reflecting our inheritance in the future. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:40, Paul says, amen, there are also celestial bodies, amen, but there's bodies terrestrial. See, amen, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. In question answers 54, I believe in the church here that there's a role here, like in here lives immortal being or mortal beings. Each one of us in this great conglomeration of deity and blackness and darkness, he said mortals live in here. Amen. Now they are either influenced from this away or from that away. He said you cannot hear a spiritual being, amen, sinner or saint without having an influence. Amen. Now, if you're a sinner, you're under an influence. If you're a son or daughter of God, you're under an influence. He said you're either influenced from the underworld, amen, or the above world. I didn't know that. Amen. But there's actually two worlds. There's an underworld, and then there's an above world. And as a sinner, you're influenced from the underworld. Amen. As a believer, you're influenced from the above world. And if you're influenced from here, you're from above. Amen. Your celestial body is waiting up there. But if you're wicked and hypocritical and indifferent, then your celestial body is down here, regardless of how much you think it's up there, because the fruit you bear, amen, before the people proves where you're from. Amen. The fruit you're bearing, amen, is proving where you're from. It's also proving where you're going. Come on, church. The fruit you're bearing is proving where you're from, and it's proving where you're going. Amen. If you're bearing indifference and coldness and backbiting and critical spirits, amen, that influence is not coming from above. Amen. That influence is coming from beneath. Amen. And I'll tell you where you're headed. If you don't let the Holy Ghost root that bitterness out, amen, and get rid of that old critical spirit, get rid of that old hypocritical spirit, amen, then I can say with assurance, heaven is not your home. Amen. And the rapture is not your future, because there will be no devils in the rapture. There will be no evil spirits spirits in the future home. Amen. But there is a Holy Ghost here this morning. Amen. That if you have become a captive, amen, to a bitter spirit, if you become captive to worldliness, if you become captive to the things of the devil, amen, there's a jubilee trumpet and it's sounding this morning. Amen. You don't have to remain in that condition. Glory to God. Brother Daniel, there's a possibility for a change. Amen. You're either influenced from above or you're influenced from beneath. Amen. I believe as believers, we are influenced from above. See, the prodigal God said, so you are here, what you are somewhere else. Now that's a powerful statement. You are here, what you are somewhere else. See, amen. Your life that you live here is just reflecting what your inheritance is when you leave here. My, the life you're living here is only reflecting your inheritance when you leave here. Do you understand? He said, now what we're seeing then, amen, is he said, I tell you, my brethren, there's a great reward that is laying at the other side when we pass over someday. Can I encourage you this morning, never become discouraged by the present. Amen, because there's a future. Amen. I know little situations happen in churches and people get all discouraged. Amen. Amen. But I think we ought to say it like this. When the smoke clears and the dust settles, we're still going to be a church. Come on. Well, we might as well preach. We're here. Amen. I've seen people get in the middle of church troubles and they're ready to throw up their hands. They're ready to quit. Amen. But just remember, when the dust settles and the smoke clears, amen, you'll still be a church. Amen. I said like this. How could you have a church if you had a pastor? Amen. That every time a little trouble come in the church, he was ready to quit and go to the house and quit preaching. Amen. But he had a vision, and the vision was the word, and he was not being influenced from the underworld, he was being influenced from the above world, and he knew just on the other side of this trial, amen, there's a blessing coming. On the other side of this trial, amen, there's a revival coming. Amen. Well, let me say this, church, get behind the vision. Amen. On the other side of this trial, amen, there's going to be a healing. On the other side of this trial, there's going to be a miracle. On the other side of this trial, there's going to be a breakthrough. On the other side, listen, you can't give up because you see the cloud. If you can stay in the plane, amen, it may be shaking and it may be rocking and it may be reeling, amen, but on the other side of the cloud, the sun is still shining, and love, divine fellowship, on the other side of this trial, amen, there's still a Holy Ghost to bless you. On the other side of this trial, there's still joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. On the other side of this trial, amen, the sun is shining, amen, the birds is singing. You can't give in and you can't give up because you're seeing something on this side. You got to look beyond this side. You got to look beyond this side and see the other side. You've got to let your influence be from the above world and not from the underworld. Now, the prodigal God said there's a great reward laying ahead at the other side. When we pass over someday, seeing what it's cost down through the years, he said how they laid out wet at night, walked on railroad tracks, picked up corn, broke in their children, for their children lived hard to see this great church prosper and come on. Now watch a prophet's terminology. Some glorious day, I hope to meet in another great jubilee. Some glorious day, I hope to meet in another great jubilee, when all the redeemed of the ages can stand on the rim of this earth, amen, singing the story of redemption. When angels are gathered around the earth while heads bowed, not even knowing what we're talking about, they never needed redemption. But we poor lost sinners was redeemed by his grace, and we know what it means to sing the redemptive story and the song. What a great time that'll be when we crown him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, church. Amen. God wants his children to be free. And the only way you can be free, amen, is by the jubilee. Come on now. Can I say it to you like this? Amen. We've had a jubilee. We are in a jubilee. And we're headed for another great jubilee. We've had a jubilee. We're in a jubilee. And we're headed for another great jubilee. You say, how can you say that? Because God has sent ministering spirits into the church, amen, to bring them the word. He said, Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits, amen, that are sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Remember, he said, what does he do? He stays right with the word. And it cuts every devil. Yes, it does. was. He said, what is it? It's the ministering spirits that are sent from the presence of God to anoint the speakers of the word that stays with the word. He confirms the word with signs following, which brings Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. How many can agree we have had a jubilee? Can I see a hand? We've had a jubilee. We are in a jubilee. Whether you're sick this morning, whether you're well, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, amen, I propose to you, church, we are in a jubilee this morning. Amen, but I'm not going to just stop there. I'm going to go the next step and say we're headed for another great jubilee. Listen, this bride is jubilee. Whether she's sick, she's in jubilee. Whether she's broke, she's in jubilee. Whether she's well, whether she's happy, she's sad, amen, she's in jubilee. Amen. Because our jubilee is not coming from the conditions of the world we're living in. Our jubilee is not coming by the way people are talking about us or the things they're saying about us. Amen. But our jubilee is coming from the word. This bride's revival is a word revival. This bride's jubilee is a word jubilee. And how does God free his church? He frees his church by his word. Don't you ever forget that God frees his church by the word. Amen. Then this bride's jubilee, amen, is when the word that has been written has been interpreted and fulfilled. Now you look here in this day, this scripture 65, he said, what a word. Think of it. This day, this scripture fulfilled before your eyes. Who said it? God himself. Amen. Who is the interpreter of his own word? Amen. God himself is the interpreter of his own word. See, this day is this scripture fulfilled. The Messiah himself standing in the presence of the congregation, amen, and reading a word out of the Bible, amen, pertaining to himself, and then saying, today, amen, this scripture is fulfilled, and they still failed to see it. Now think about this. The Messiah, amen, himself in flesh in the temple, picks up the Bible, reads the scripture, turns around and says, this is Isaiah 61, and I am the one that Isaiah was speaking of in the scroll of Isaiah 61. And he closes the book, hands it to the minister, and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. And they still failed to see it. Come on, they were looking at his corporal body. They were looking at him eye to eye, face to face, and they still failed to see it. You know what they did? They failed to see the jubilee. Amen. They failed to receive the jubilee. He said, what a tragedy that would be. Amen. But it's happened many times. Now, how could it happen? He said, by believing man's interpretation of the word. Amen. By believing man's interpretation of the word is what caused them to miss the very presence of the Messiah manifested. And the prophet God said, the same thing is happening today. He said, they could not identify him then because he was different from them. And the person of Jesus Christ was so unique that no one should have missed seeing that was the Son of God, because he was the perfect identification of the scripture that was wrote of him. He said, that's the way any Christian is known, is when his life identifies the very thing that the Christian is supposed to do. Amen. When his life, when his walk with God is identifying what a Christian that is walking with God is supposed to do, is the perfect scriptural identification that you are a Christian. Now, I want to go ahead and say this. We have a perfect identification, amen, of a scriptural Christian by the message of the hour. Everybody agree with me? We have a perfect identification of a scriptural Christian by the message of the hour. Amen. Then I say to you this morning that that perfect identification, amen, is coming to the church, amen, by the perfect interpretation of the word. And the perfect interpretation of the word, amen, is bringing us back to our original inheritance. Amen. We're not going back by a hybrid interpretation. We're not going back by private interpretation. We're not going back by a group of men or a sect of men, amen, or some political agenda of a man, amen, but we are going back to our original inheritance, which is an incorruptible inheritance, and we're going back there by the word. I love what 1 Peter 3:1-3 says. Amen. We have been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven for you. It is reserved in heaven for you. Amen. Now look at this word incorruptible. It has no principles of dissolution or decay in it. Amen. It is therefore, it must be totally different from this earth. See, and we are kept by the power of God. Amen. Through the faith unto salvation. And we are ready to be revealed in the last day. Amen. Now watch this. We have an incorruptible inheritance. Amen. Which is our original inheritance, which we're going back to by the word. And then Peter comes down in the 23rd verse and says, we've been born again, amen, not of corruptible seed, amen, but of incorruptible. Now, why would a corruption, amen, have an incorruptible inheritance? Amen. Why would an incorruptible have a corruptible inheritance? Amen. Listen, you are in corruption now, amen, but there is a word that has been spoke over you, amen, by the voice of Malachi 4, and it is an original word, and that word is going to change your body some morning between 6 and 9, amen, and corruption is going to put on incorruption, and this mortal is going to put on immortality, and then it's going to be brought to pass the saying, amen, that death is swallowed up in victory. Listen, church, get your eyes off of the corruptible problems. Get your eyes off the corruptible situation, and get your eyes on the incorruptible inheritance that is reserved for you. Now, I got to preach to you. Amen. It's reserved for you. It's reserved for you. Amen. Then a man can't give it to you, and a man can't take it away from you. It's got your name on it. Come on, church. It's got your name on it. Amen. Can't nobody take your place. Can't nobody take your seat. Amen. Can't no fault take you out. And can't no fault put you in. Come on, church. Amen. God, before the foundation of the world, amen, reserved an inheritance for the bride. And he set the marriage supper of the Lamb before you was ever even born. He already had your seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He already had your plate set. Come on, church. Amen. This is not show up and pick a seat. This is a sign seating. It's got your name on it. It's got your seat there. Amen. He knows where he's going to put you. Amen. Because he knows you're coming out. Amen. Of Laodicea. He knows you're coming out of the situations of your life. Come on, church. God, amen, did not redeem you in hopes that you would be there. He redeemed you in assurance. Amen. Knowing you would be there. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if God be for you, then who can be against you? Amen. If the word is on your side, amen, though 1,000 fall at the left and 10,000 at the right, they shall not come nigh thee, because there's a seed, and it's an incorruptible seed, and it's buried in your soul underneath the grace of Jehovah. I feel good this morning. Amen. I got an inheritance, and the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. My critics didn't give it, and my critics can't take it away. Well, I think that ought to deserve a hearty amen. Your critics didn't give it to you, and they can't take it away. Your enemies didn't give it to you, and they can't take it away. People that didn't think you deserved it didn't give it to you, and they can't take it away. It is reserved in heaven for you. Then I propose to you this morning, our inheritance is a scriptural inheritance. Our inheritance as a believer is a scriptural inheritance. Now you realize what Peter said. He said there's an incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, which we were born of. And God power to transform. He said the corrupted that seed by getting the bed and grounds. He said which was Eve corrupting that seed with a corruptible seed before it could get there to corrupt that beautiful garden of Eden. Where? Heaven. He said, the only thing that is just the restoration. He said, where we are now, we are on our road back to the original beginning. On our road back to the original beginning of the creation of God. Amen. Back to the Garden of Eden again. Husband and wife without any sin or anything to live eternally. Then you say, preacher, what is the way back? The way back or the road back is the Holy Ghost. And when God sends something, you will either receive it or accept it. Or rather, you receive it or reject it. Remember, he said, whenever God sends his blessings and people reject it, he said, that place always goes into a chaos. It just rots in its condition. And we are sure that the message and the power of God, which we all believe in is so strange to the world, its way of thinking. And I believe that our nation has practically done what the rest of them has done. Amen. Now, to the honor and praise of God, we are grateful for what He has given us. Amen. He sent this into the country of America, but they rejected it. They would have no part in it. Amen. But unto you that would receive it, it would be more than a church. It would be more than a religion. It would be more than a Sunday morning service. It would be a jubilee to return back to your original inheritance. When Brother Branham opens the message, Return in Jubilee, he does it by showing, amen, that Israel has a portion of inheritance in Palestine. And he said, see, the portion of inheritance, amen, could not be fulfilled, amen, by anyone else. In other words, whoever's name, amen, was on that allotted portion, they had to be the ones, amen, to step into the fulfillment of that allotted portion. Y'all know we're living in an age of identification. Brother Bram said it's an identifying age, right? He said you can't do nothing without any identification. Brother Doug, I find it amazing. Amen. You call the power company to pay your bill and they want you to identify yourself. It's like, who in the world's calling y'all to pay my bills? Why is that so important? I mean, come on. I got to give you my telephone. I got to give you my address. I got to give you my birthday. And I got to give you my blood type. Amen. Just to pay my power bill. Ain't nobody calling around offering to pay people's bills. Amen. But it's an age of identification where you can't do anything unless you've been identified. You know why? Because they don't want some intruder. Amen. Now, come on, friends. They don't want some intruder to come in to what rightfully belongs to you. Because if they come in there, then they can claim it's yours. Amen. But do you realize that our God, amen, is not a God who gives and takes and gives and takes. He gives you something and God does not take away, amen, from His word, amen, but He only magnifies the promises of His word. Then listen, there's been a lot of intruders that's tried to move into this message and they've tried to impersonate the third pool. They've tried to impersonate the revelation, amen, but come on, just as Israel, amen, was positionally placed in the promised land of inheritance, this bride has received a Joshua, amen, anointing in this age, and we have been positionally placed in our anointing. You say, well, Brother Andrew, I'm just an odd rock. Well, thank God for being an odd rock. Amen, because even Brother Bram said, odd rocks have positions in the inheritance. Listen, I'm going to preach this so clear today, amen, that ain't going to be one devil be able to talk you out of your inheritance. I'm going to preach it so clear to you by the message of the hour that ain't one devil going to be able to say, you ain't got no rights in the Holy Ghost. You ain't got no rights in the third pool. You ain't got no rights in divine healing. I say, love divine, it's time to draw your sword and fight back against every devil that's trying to move in on your land. If He give you them kids, don't you back up. If He give you that husband, don't you back up. If He give you that wife, don't you back up. If He give you that miracle, amen, don't you back up. The devil is nothing but a squatter. Come on, church. The devil is nothing but a squatter. Amen. But we're not squatters. Amen. We've got rights to be here. Amen. We didn't sneak around trespassing signs. Amen. To get in this message. Amen. But we were pulled. We were drawn. We were led. We were compelled. Amen. We were pulled by a gene seed of God into a position of authority with God in this word. Brother said, each one of us in our peculiar way has a place in the house of God. Amen. Just like Solomon's temple when it was cut out all over the world. He said, but when it was brought into Joppa, floated in and took there an ox cart, all these odd rocks had their place. And when the temple went together, he said, the placing of God shows the master hand and the work of God. It is a beautiful picture of God in His masterworks. It's a beautiful picture of God in His masterworks. Now, one time, Brother Doug, somebody said something to me kind of interesting. They said, you know, they said, there's a lot of odd people around this message. I said, yeah, you're right. They said, yeah, I don't understand that. They said, why we got a message that's got a bunch of odd people? I said, well, the reason is because this message gives everybody a chance. Testing, 1, 2, testing. It's still working. This message gives everybody a chance. Come on, church. It gives the poor a chance. It gives the rich a chance. It gives the educated a chance. It gives the uneducated. Come on. It gives the popular a chance. It gives the unpopular. Amen. This message gives everybody a chance. You know why? Because this message brings everybody to the same playing field. And it's level at the foot of the cross. Amen. This message is not based on who's who and who done what and who said this. Amen. This message is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Released from the side of our Savior. Amen. On Calvary's hill over 2,000 years ago. And that blood is still flowing in the church this morning. And it's still giving our young people a chance. Come on, this message don't just give a chance. It gives a second chance. It gives a third chance. It gives a fourth chance. It gives a fifth chance. It gives you as many chances as you need until you pass the test and you can step over into your glorious inheritance, which is your original inheritance by the blood. It's not a message of popularity. It's not a message of political agendas. It's a message of us saith the Lord. It's a message of grace. It's a message of pardon and grace. It's a message of favor. It's a message of anointing. It's a message of faith. It is a message of the hour. And it's the promise of God in the age we're living in. Then you know what this message has done? It finally gives you a place you can be yourself. Come on, it finally gives you a place you can just be you. You don't have to be pressured to be anything else but just be you. Come on, if you was in the Pentecostal this morning, they'd be pressuring you to shout. They'd be pressuring you to speak in tongues. They'd be pressuring you to run the aisles. If you was in the Baptist, they'd be pressuring you, amen, to sign the church card. If you was in the Catholic, they'd be pressuring you, come take the communion, come kiss the ring, come give confession, amen. But in this message, we are not under the dictatorship of no man, but we are under the glorious liberty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you want to shout, you can shout. If you want to cry, you can cry. If you want to run, you can run. If you want to preach, you can preach. If you want to sing, you can sing. If you just want to sit there and bathe in the Shekinah glory, you can sit there and bathe in it. If you want to speak in tongues, you can speak in tongues. This message is not pushing you to be something that you're not. It's only pushing you to be what God called you to be. It's a jubilee hour. It's a season of jubilee. Come on, anything, amen, that's not acting like what God called it to be is a hybridization. Come on, and you got hundreds of hybridizations in denomination. Well, we might as well preach, you know. I remember one time, brother, I was in a meeting. I was actually in a message church, believe it or not. I was in a meeting one night, and the pastor got up, Brother Doug, man. He wanted everybody to shout. You know, everybody got to shout. Everybody got to dance. You know, we was there for about 2 hours. And there was one old brother next to me. He hadn't shouted all night, you know. We was just standing there, and I pray this okay. He said, yeah. He said, no. He said, just go ahead and everybody dance. Everybody go ahead and dance. And that brother stood there, and he said, well, I just don't feel it, you know. I said, well, you do as the Lord leads you, you know. It's about 20 more minutes. Brother said, now, we ain't going to lead till everybody dances, you know. So that brother looked over at me and said, well, I guess I better dance and get it over with so we can go home. And I thought, what a worship. Amen. Amen. How are you putting your heart in? I say, thank God for churches where we can come in and we're under the auspices of the Holy Ghost. We're not here to all act like Andrew Glover or act like Doug Baker or act like Andy Schuler. Amen. But we're here to be what God has called us to be. We're here to express a praise. We're here to express a worship. You may praise different. I may praise different, but it does not diminish the praise. And I'm going to go a step further and say, amen, no man has a right, amen, to deem another church dead, amen, based off of another church. Amen. We're not, is this okay? We're not judging churches by churches. Well, Brother So-and-so's church is doing this, so our church must be dead. And Brother So-and-so's church over there is doing this. Well, I tell you this, amen, bless God, bless Brother So-and-so's church. Amen. But every church is a sovereign church. And if we're going to start comparing churches by churches, we might as well go get us a support system in the denomination. Amen. And let them pay the bills. Amen. But we come out of that nonsense to be a sovereign, independent, amen, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, message preaching, pillar of fire fallen believer. Then let's be what God called us to be. We may not shout every service, but that don't mean we're dead. We may not speak in tongues every week, but that don't mean we're dead. But we got a word, and it's a word of jubilee. It's a word of authority. It's a word of freedom. It's a word of power. No carnal comparisons in the house of God. We're a body of believers. Yeah, and we're in liberty. Our liberty is coming from the Holy Ghost. I love what Galatians 5:13 says. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Don't you like that? You've been called unto liberty. That word called means to utter in a loud voice. In a loud voice. You have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. But now look at this word called. It means to receive the name of. It means receive as a name. Receive someone, some name to one. Call his name. I love what Paul says in Romans 8:21. He says the creature itself shall also be delivered from what? The bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now watch this. But Brim said, then when those mothers called their names out, uttered their names in their labor pains. You know what he said? He said she positionally placed them in the promised land. Brim comes along in adoption part one and says the church positionally before the foundation of the world, when God in his labor pain was bringing forth you, knowing what you would do, he positionally placed you in his own body. He positionally placed you in his own body to be a housewife, to be a farmer, to be a preacher, to be a prophet, to be this or that, to be that. He placed you positionally. Then the only ones that will not be deceived will be those that have come over into the promised land, who before the foundation of the world, their names was put on the Lamb's book of life and have come over into the promised land, and they are enjoying it. Then we can go all the way back to where the prophet of God said that God in his masterworks positionally placed you in your original inheritance, amen, by the calling of your name in his labor pains. See, Jesus come on the earth, and what did he do? He was a positionally placed son by the Father. Remember, said Jesus did the works of his Father because the Father was in him. He said that God the Father, which is the Father of Jesus Christ, the great Spirit, dwelt in the fullness of his power in Jesus Christ, which was the tabernacle of God, made flesh and dwelt among us on earth. Amen. Representing the Word. Jesus was the Word. John 1. The Word was made invisible. The Word was invisible until it was made flesh, and then the Word become visible. In other words, the Word was invisible until the Word come into a body called Jesus, which was the Word made flesh. Then the invisible Word become the visible Word. And he said through his sacrificial death at Calvary and his resurrection, he positionally placed his church in that realm. Come on, church. You're not trespassing in heavenly places. You have been positionally placed in heavenly places. You're not a squatter, amen, in the realm of the supernatural. This message positionally placed you there. See, watch that the same invisible God could come into the individual and make the Word visible. Come on, we are in a realm, church, by the message where the invisible God can come into the individual by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and make the individual. Vigil, the visible Word, amen, by the power of the resurrection. Oh, if I was the devil, I would fight you too. If I was the devil, brother, I would hate you too, because the Word, God, has got into your flesh, and now you are the living, breathing, walking, talking interpretation of the manifestation, amen, not of a creed, not of a dogma, not of a catechism, amen, not of a church code, but of the invisible Word made visible by the Word becoming flesh. Oh, it's Jubilee time, church. You say, preacher, why are you so happy? Don't you know we've got situations? I know that, but I look beyond your situations. I look beyond the condition. Come on. Now, Brother Doug can get with me on this. There's times if you preach based on the expressions on the face, you'd quit before you opened your Bible. Amen, but you keep on preaching, and you keep on preaching, and you keep on laying that Word in there. And as that Word begins to stack up on Word, you begin to, I have literally seen birds lift up off of people, and there was no emotion. There was nobody laying hands on them. Amen. But the Word was being fulfilled. And when the word becomes fulfilled in the church, it's an hour of jubilee. Listen, I believe this Israel, amen, had a promised land. And that promised land was not in the mud pits of Egypt. That promised land was in the land of Canaan, which was flowing with milk and honey. I believe, amen, that the vision to Abraham said that your seed is going to sojourn in a strange land, in those mud pits, under those taskmasters. But that's not their inheritance. That's not their jubilee. That's not their place to dwell in. Come on, church. Their place is in the promised land. Now, do you realize what happened in there? If them elders for 400 years, Brother Eli, they were beat. They were tortured. They were ridiculed. Amen. Amen. They would go home and just had enough time, amen, to lay down and get that salve, get down in that wound and go right back in the mud pits in the morning. And the same wound would get opened up again with the same old taskmaster's whip over their back. Now, tell me that they were shouting every morning they went in the mud pits. Come on, friends. Tell me that they were dancing. They were, amen, amen. I believe in those things, but we got to get to a place where we don't even feel it. We still believe it. Come on, I can prove it to you by the message. The hour has come, 1950s. Brother said, the hour has come, amen, to separate your faith from your feelings. Come on, in greatest battle ever fought, he said he's calling every seed of Abraham to separate from the five senses of see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Come on, church. It's got to become a faith walk. It's got to become a word walk. It's got to become a walk where you're not being influenced by the underworld or the around world, but you're being influenced by the above world, and you're fellowshipping with angels, and the power of God is ministering to you, and you're fellowshipping with the Lord. See, sometimes in the hardest battles, you got to reach over and get a hold of David. Principle. Can I preach to you? You know what David's principle is? Say it with me. David's principle. David's principle. It's one you need to memorize. Here it is. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of him, stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Right there is David's principle, that no matter where you're at, amen, Sister Salinas, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You can be in the bottom of the whale's belly and you can get a hold of David's principle. You can be in the lion's den and you can get a hold of David's principle. You can be, amen, surrounded by 1,000 Philistines and you can reach over and get a hold of David's principle. David's principle is, amen, encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, you know how David done that? Because he had a confession that was not being influenced by the seen world or the underneath world. Amen. But David's confession was being influenced by the above world. And the children of Israel, amen, broke out into David's principle. And you know what they begin to do? They begin to encourage themselves in the Lord. This is not our destination. This is not our inheritance. We will not remain here. We were born for a better purpose. We have got an inheritance. And it's a promised inheritance. You know what they begin to say? God will raise up a deliverer. His word said he would. I can imagine, Brother Doug, they would look over at each other when they go in the mud pits and say, be strong, be of good courage, because we're leaving here one of these days. I can imagine when they punched the time clock to go home, amen, they patted somebody on the back and said, be strong, be of good courage, we're leaving here one of these days. Amen. For 400 years, amen, they confessed, amen, the promise of the vision that was given Father Abraham, that your seed will sojourn in a strange land. But after 400 years, I will bring you out, and I will bring you out with great substance. Come on, church. I propose to you this morning, we may be here another 50 years or another 50 minutes. Amen. But we're coming out of Laodicea. Well, glory to God, I feel good. We're coming out of Laodicea, and we're not coming out defeated, and we're not coming out broke, and we're not coming out beat down, and we're not coming out barely making it. I'll go ahead and say this, and we're not even coming out divided. But God has sent a message of unity by the time and the sign. We're leaving here, church. Amen. Get your shoes on your feet. Get your staff in your hand. Get inside those tents and eat the lamb. Amen. Get some rapture and strength in your bones. Get some rapture and grace in your heart. Get some rapture and faith on your lips. Amen. Because one of these mornings we're leaving here. Pharaoh never dreamed that Israel would leave those mud pits. He never dreamed that they would walk out of there victorious. Amen. But Pharaoh's dreams could not withstand the original inheritance that God had given his children from before the foundation of the world. Can I go a step further and say this? Walls. Somebody say it with me. Walls. Or walled cities will never stop the Jubilee. Pharaoh won't stop it. Taskmasters won't stop it. Cancer won't stop it. Come on, church. Trouble in the church won't stop it. Disagreement in the body won't. Amen. Schisms in the body. Nothing will stop the Jubilee. In Leviticus 25, verse 29, the Bible said, if a man sell, amen, a dwelling house in a walled city, then he may redeem it within a whole year after it's sold. Within a full year may he redeem it. And if it be not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the walled city shall be established forever to him that brought it throughout his generation. It shall not go out in the Jubilee, but the houses of the villages which have no wall around about them shall be counted as the fields of the country. They may be redeemed, and they shall go out in the Jubilee. Oh, don't that sound good? They shall go out in the Jubilee. Remember, said the ones that was walled in never got to go free. They were bond slaves the rest of their time. The owner owned them if they put an inheritance in a city that was walled in. But if it was outside, amen, in little bitty cities that wasn't walled in, then it was consider like the plains, it could go free in the Jubilee. Come on, we have had a Jubilee, we are in a Jubilee, and the prophet of God said we're headed for another great Jubilee. Where did he place that another great Jubilee? In the rapture, in the millennium, in the future, when all the redeemed of seven ages, when all the patriarchs, when all the forefathers, when we all gather on the other side, amen, it'll be another great Jubilee. Now, I'm just going to state scriptural truth. Amen. The prophet of God said, now watch. We find out many of us in these last days in the organization of Pentecost, we have come in, organized ourselves. He said, and rejected the leadership of the Holy Ghost by the wisdom of some groups of people. He said, but instead of having fellowship one with another, it's divided us and separated us into several different organizations of people. And in doing so, it has broke up our inheritance. Now, these walls inside, he said, if we ever get walled into a place where we can't accept the word and the Holy Spirit and have to take the creeds and so forth of a church instead of the power of the Holy Spirit, the Jubilee will never mean nothing to that person. No matter how much you can say mother left you an inheritance, daddy did that, but you sold out and walled up and come into a creed and accepted this dogma that was injected into your fellowship instead of being free in Christ and letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Come on, Brother Bram said like this. He said, it's like them cows that got in them drift fences, right? He said, they was all separated by drift fences. He said, but at the end of the season, at the end of the season, he said, them drift fences would go down, amen, and the cattle would all get together. And he said, you know what? I think that's what's happening right here at the end of the season. He said, the drift fences have been taken down. And he said, and all the cattle got together to celebrate a great big Jubilee. And they were all heifers. They all had a right to celebrate a Jubilee. And I pray that God in this coming week, that all the drift fences of denomination will be tore down and all the born again children of God will be brought together in one great big Holy Ghost rally Jubilee where they can all get together again. You know what the prophet of God said? Put those cattle in those drift fences was men who undermined the ability of the Holy Ghost to lead the church. What put the people in drift fences was men who undermined the ability of the Holy Ghost to lead the church. He said they had some issues come in. So what they had to do, they had to organize these issues. If they had just left it alone and let the Holy Spirit, now watch what the Holy Spirit can do. He said the Holy Spirit can weed out. The Holy Spirit can bring out. It can lead in and put in the church. And it would have been farther advanced than it is now. Amen. In the spiritual power. See, what has organization done? It is meant for chickens, not for eagles. Men have chickenized the church, but God has set the church free by the Jubilee. And let me say this, you may be sitting there this morning saying, Brother Andrew, I can hear it, I can feel it, I can believe it. Amen. But do I have an inheritance? Do I really have an inheritance to return to? Can I say this? How many children of God have we got here this morning? How many? Let me see your hands. Hi. How many children of God? We got a house full of children of God. Well, let's confirm it again. How many children of God have we got in the building? Let's see your hands high and lift it up. Amen. Then can I say this to you? Every child of God has an inheritance. Just bumped that devil, didn't we? Every child of God has an inheritance. If that inheritance is lost, then you have a God-given right to go and take that inheritance back. You say, preacher, how can I do that? Amen. Because grace made a way for the lost inheritance to be returned. What was Jubilee? It was God expressing his manner, amen, of grace to return you back to what you had lost. Remember, said, oh my, in this Jubilee, every man that lost his inheritance by some means, if he was a freeborn, true-blooded Israelite, no matter who held the possession, it had to go back to him free. He didn't have to pay a thing. He didn't have to do a thing. What did he have to do? Just stop what he was doing and go back to his inheritance. Come on, church. We don't have to go this morning and pay for your right to return. Over 2,000 years ago, that day on Calvary, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen, died for your right to return back to what is rightfully yours in the hour of Jubilee. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preach, what have I got to do? Amen. If you're under a slave taskmaster this morning and you hear the Jubilee trumpet, remember, said, what you got to do is you got to drop the hoe and you got to go. Well, I feel good this morning. If you're out of your position. Now, some of y'all this morning right now know I'm talking about it. Amen. Because I'm pushing against spirits right now trying to preach. Amen. Because you're serving under things you shouldn't be serving under. Right now, some of y'all are serving under fear. You're serving under anxiety. You're serving. You're trying to serve God under this beat down mentality. I'll never be good enough. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all, God brought you out of things. Amen. And you still, amen, letting them old taskmasters afflict your mind, afflict your spirit. Amen. But I come here this morning with the word of the Lord in my mouth from the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter. It's the hour of Jubilee. Then when you hear the Jubilee sound, you don't have to hoe another roll. You don't have to pick another potato. You don't have to work another day. When you hear the Jubilee trumpet sound, you can throw down the hoe. And that taskmaster may be standing there, and he may say, if you move, I'll beat you. You can say, beat all you want to. Amen, because I'm not coming back under your false doctrine. Beat all you want to, but I'm not laboring for you anymore. I have been freed. What was Jubilee? It was God's manner of expressing grace to his people for restoring or being brought back to their rightful position. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, amen, the hour of Jubilee, there was the sounding of the Jubilee trumpet. You say, preacher, we're in the hour of Jubilee. Amen. Will we miss the Jubilee? Not if you hear the trumpet. Trumpet. Then shall the cause of the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound. To sound. To sound. Then shall you cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. 1 Corinthians 14:8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? You know what the trumpet is? The trumpet is the gospel. Then when you hear the sound of the gospel of the Jubilee trumpet, you can go free. The Jubilee trumpet is not an uncertain sound. The Jubilee trumpet is your freedom. The Jubilee trumpet is your pardon. The Jubilee trumpet, amen, is not sounding in your head where you got to figure it out. It's sounding in your heart where you can believe it. And what it's saying is, we're free. We're free. We're free. Listen, if we have nothing to return to, then the trumpet sounding will not mean anything to us. But if we have an inheritance, oh God, give me some preaching room. If we don't have nothing to go back to, then we can preach this message all day long and it means nothing to us. But when you begin to hear that trumpet sound in the 10th day of the 7th month, come on, I'm not a crazy man. It was not an accident. Amen, Malachi, that trumpet sounded in the 10th day of the 7th month, and the age you're living in is the messenger of Revelation, the 10th chapter and the 7th verse, and the same word that's in Leviticus 25 is the same word that's in Revelation 10. When the trumpet shall begin to sound, when the voice of the seventh angel shall begin to sound, amen, you shall rise and go free in the Jubilee because you got an inheritance. Where are we going, brother? We're going back to our original inheritance. Brother Branham said like this. He said the whole family could come and receive their inheritance. Yes, sir. What back to? A Pentecostal inheritance. Not a possession of denomination, but Pentecostal experience is your possession. When he shall begin to sound. I love what Brother Branham says it. When the real word. Somebody say the real word. When the real word sounds itself out, they don't know what you're talking about. They call you a holy roller. They call you crazy. You know why? Because the churches are full of heathens. Brother Branham identifies what a heathen is. It's an unbeliever in the written word. Come on, this word is your Jubilee. This is a book of Jubilee. It's a book of inheritance. It's a book of pardon. It's a book of grace. And when that word, Brother Andy, comes into your soul, come on. I tell you why the devil wants to shut the fivefold ministry down. It's because he's tired of people getting Jubilees. Brother Doug, that's why the devil's trying to silence your voice here in this community. It's because he's tired of people getting Jubilee. But you know what happens is that word gets into that gift, and that gift surrenders before God, and that gift begins to operate through that voice, and the real word, not Brother So-and-so's word, not Brother So-and-so here word, but the real word begins to sound itself out through the lips of a fivefold ministry, and it's the same as Leviticus, the 25th chapter, when the sound of the Jubilee trumpet sounded. Come on, church. There should not be one slave in here this morning. There should not be one person under one taskmaster this morning. The word, the real word, has sounded itself out. It's time to go free. It's time to rise. It's time to shine. It's time to believe again. It's time to rejoice again. It's time to praise again. It's time to give God the glory again. The real word is sounding itself out. You're free. Oh, glory to God. You ain't putting me in a walled city no more. You ain't telling me what I can eat no more. You ain't telling me where I can go no more. You ain't telling me who I am no more. I know who I am by the real word sound. Feels good up here right now. I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint. I'm not condemned, I'm redeemed. I'm not useless, I am a product of the Master's work. I am not a mistake, I am a gene seed of God. I am not a failure, I am a victor in Jesus Christ. I am not the foot, I have risen to the head. Come on, church, shake off those taskmaster clothes. You don't have to wear them no more. You're not under that taskmaster anymore. You are free. Remember, said, what was the Holy Ghost? He said the Holy Ghost has been bound by these denominational rivers for nearly 2,000 years. But the Holy Spirit, back in the church again, is Christ himself revealed in human flesh in the evening time. Now, can I say it to you like this in closing? Servants and slaves, amen, could not go free in the Jubilee. Because they had no family. They had no inheritance. They had nothing to go back to. But only the son that lost his inheritance was able to go free. And my Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the slaves of God. Is that what your Bible says? To become the servants of God. To become the beat, weak down, hopeless, helpless people of God. No, my Bible says to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Then what did the Bible say? Amen. You have been called unto liberty. What does that word called mean? It means to utter in a loud voice. It means to receive one's name. That word power means to liberty, to do as one pleases. When you have heard the call of the Jubilee, you have received the name of God. Now you can go free with the power of God, and you can do with liberty what one pleases. In other words, you can shake hands with people who you used to be told you couldn't shake hands with. You can hug necks with a brother who you used to be told to avoid. Brother Doug, you can preach the message without somebody putting their thumb on you and saying, well, you can say that, but you can't say this. Come on, Brother Luke, you can lead singing with a freedom and authority. Come on, musicians, you can play under the leadership of the conductor, the Holy Ghost. Come on, believers, you can worship God under the freedom of the liberty of the message of the hour. This is not a bondage time. This is not the spirit of bondage. It's the spirit of adoption. It's the hour of Jubilee. I'm going to preach right now, and I'm going to go to the house, okay, or the hotel. Amen. You're free this morning. I said you're free. If there's a devil on your property, you got a right by the sound of the Jubilee trumpet to serve eviction notice on that squatter. Get off of here. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about. You ever heard of something called squatters? Anybody here ever heard of squatters? Brother Joseph, go get you a piece of property. Amen. I don't know if there's a law here in Arizona, but back east there is. Get you a piece of property and leave that property vacant for 7 years and let somebody move on it. Amen. In 7 years, you decide you want to go build something on it, and you go down there and say, hey, boy, get off. Well, by law, there's something called squatter's rights. If they've lived there 7 years on the property, they can remain there with uncontested existence. In other words, if they've been there for 7 years, when they move in on the property after 7 years, they've got squatter's rights, which means you cannot contest their existence upon your property. So if an old boy wants to move in on your backyard, amen, and 7 years go by, you never know he's there. Amen, you go out there 7 years later and say, hey, buddy, get off. Amen, he can stand there and say, you have no right to contest my existence on this property. I've got squatter's rights. But can I tell you this morning what the prophet God said? He said, the devil is a squatter. Sister Victoria, the devil is a squatter, and that devil's moved in on people's homes. That devil's moved on people's emotions. That devil's moved in people's health. And you know what? He might have been there 7 years. He might have been there 12 years. He might have been there 38 years. Amen. But I love the words of a prophet, Daniel, when he says, but the devil is a squatter, but he has no rights. Brother Doug, the devil is a squatter, but he has no rights. That means he might have been there 7 years or 7 minutes or 7 seconds. He might have been there 38 minutes or 38 years. But when the Jubilee trumpet of the revealed word begins to sound and a faith rises up in your heart and you walk out there and say, here, old boy, get off my property. He cannot stand there and withstand you. He has no right to contest. He has no right to contest your promise to remove him. And I say to you this morning, church, I come here with one motive and one objective this morning, and that's by the word to contest the existence of every devil that's moved in on the house of the living God, to contest the existence of cancer, to contest the existence of backbiting, to contest the existence of confusion. I contest it this morning, and I charge it in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, take your hands off of God's property. It's the hour of Jubilee. It's the season of freedom. It's the season of liberty. We are the adopted sons and daughters of God by the blood. The power of the devil has been broken by the power of God. We're standing here this morning subject to every promise of God's word. And God, somebody say God, through his grace, has declared a year of Jubilee. God, through his grace, has declared a year of Jubilee. Therefore, I believe God. He says, and I don't have to work anymore. Now, I'm not talking about your 9 to 5. You don't have to work for that devil no more. The laws of the land have claimed you're free. We were under a law. We were sold in sin. Our parents sold us out. We were laid under the bonds of a sin as a slave to the devil. There's nothing we can do to help us because our whole makeup, our whole nature, everything we are is sin. But when the Jubilee comes, we are free. I love this. The whole emancipation of proclamation is done signed. It's done signed. You're free. It's done signed. You're free. When the slaves saw the sun coming up, Brother JJ, they were not down at the courthouse signing the emancipation of the proclamation. It was already signed. Brother Ben, when the sun come up, it was the putting into effect what had already been done. Them slaves weren't down there waiting on them to sign it. It was signed. And in the writing, Brother Doug, it said the minute you see the sun come up, you're free. On this day, at this hour, at this time, when you see the sun rise and your eyes catches a glimpse of the sun, you're free. Brother Brim said they got some slaves together and they climbed up on the top of the mountain. He said because they wanted to get up there real early. Amen. They climbed up during the night, Brother Andy. And they got up on the top and he said there was a whole row of them. He said some of them got up there first. He said, but they was all headed up the mountain. He said, but when that one got up on the top and he saw the sun come up, he said he looked at the sun and he said he looked back down and he said, the sun is up. You're free. Come on. Now listen, friends, the first one saw it, but probably there was one, probably 5,000 people on down the back. Amen. How did it get so quick? Oh God. How did a short, quick work get from the top to the bottom in a matter of seconds? Amen. Because when the first one who was ordained to see it saw it, he turned around and he said, the sun is up. Amen. So the seventh angel said to the fivefold ministry, the sun is up. And the fivefold ministry, which is the voice of many waters, have been screaming out, and what was in the prophet, the sun is up, has got into the fivefold ministry, the sun is up. But that voice didn't stop in the fivefold ministry, but those who are sitting under the word are receiving the same voice, and that voice is coming to their voice, and now they're saying to their kids, the sun is up. They're saying to their wayward loved ones, the sun is up. They're saying to their sick bodies, the sun is up. Come on, is there anybody here this morning can say it? The sun is up. Come on, the sun is up. Amen, amen, amen. The sun is up, Brother Malachi. We can believe again. The sun is up. We can kiss our babies again. The sun is up. We can hug our wives again. The sun is up. We can live in our homes again. We have been freed by the Jubilee. The sun has put into action what was written in the scrolls, and the rising of the sun in 1965 was the issue and into action of the promises of the bride to the age she's living in. The sun is up. The sun is up. Let our musicians come this morning. The sun is up. Brother Doug, can you say it? Brother Doug, can you say it? Brother Andy, can you say it? Brother Luke, can you say it? Brother Jude in the back, can you say it? They weren't changing what they were saying. They were all saying the same thing. The sun is up. It started with the head and it went through the body. The sun is up. Well, there's a pulsation of faith in this building this morning. Church, the voice of the Jubilee trumpet is sounding. Brother Isaac, the sun is up. Church, the sun is up. You're free to go in the rapture. The sun is up. You're free to go in the future home. The sun is up. You say, what is this Jubilee? It's pardoning grace. You know what pardoning grace is? It's done for you through the cross of Calvary by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say it with me. Pardoning grace. Pardoning grace has come upon the church. And you know what a pardon is, don't you? It's only a pardon when it's accepted or received as a pardon. I read this morning where Brother Bram said like this, and I don't want you to take this wrong, but I believe in altar calls. Don't you? I believe in prayer lines. I believe in dying out at the altar. We all believe in that. I heard Brother Bram say this morning, Brother Doug, he said, you can lay at the altar and you can die. He said, but until you accept that pardon and grace, he said, you'll die lost at the altar. Think about that. Laying at the altar, desiring grace, and die lost. You know why? Because they think at the altar, they're beating it out of the altar. They think they're pulling it out of midair somewhere. But according to a prophet, you're only accepting what Christ done for you 2,000 years ago. So I ask you this morning, can you accept the pardon? Brother Andrew, you don't understand. Oh, I do. Because I heard a story one time. Brother Bram said there was a man in prison. He said he got out of line in the army. So they put him in there, said they was going to kill him before firing squad the next morning. He said his buddy went in there and he said, hey, he said, I know you're going to die. He said, but I'm going to go get you a pardon. He said he ran out. Said he ran out in town and said he found President Abraham Lincoln. Said he went up to him and said, Abraham Lincoln, President. He said, listen to me. He said, my buddy's in prison getting ready to die in the morning. He said, the only one that can pardon him is you. He said, would you please pardon him? He said, he's a good man, got a family, loves his family. He said, he don't deserve this. He said, he made a mistake. He said, they're going to kill him in the morning. He said, Abraham Lincoln reached over in his briefcase, pulled out an old piece of paper, and wrote on it, I, Abraham Lincoln, pardon so-and-so, signed the President of the United States of America, and took it to him. Brother Bram said, the man ran in there and said, hey, he said, I got you a pardon. He said, the guy turned around and looked at it and said, let me see that. Said, he looked at it. So we looked at it. He said, that's a joke. Said, why would you come in here and make me feel like that, humiliate me, embarrass me? You see, I'm getting ready to die. He said, no, listen to me. It's a pardon. I found the President. He signed it. I saw him sign it. I saw it with his own eyes. He signed it here, accepted. He said, if it was a pardon from the President, it would have the official seal at the top. It would have the right decorations on the paper. He said, that's a joke. Leave me alone. And he said, the next morning, he said he died at the hands of a firing squad and he had a pardon. Come on, church. I'm tying together for you. He had a pardon and he still died at the hands of the firing squad. You know why? They took it before the court. And the court said, listen, he had the pardon. Abraham Lincoln's signature was on it. And they said, listen, a pardon is only a pardon when it's received as a pardon. Listen, it's going to be a pardon whether you accept it or not. That piece of paper remained a pardon in the courthouse. It was still his pardon, and he was in the ground dead. It was a pardon, but what put it into effect as a pardon was when you received it as a pardon. Come on, church, and I know this message don't look official. It's got a bunch of haints and taints and ain'ts and all kinds of things, but if you can accept it, it's a pardon and grace from the taskmasters of denomination. It's a pardon grace from the false teachers of false doctrines. It's a true word. It's the whole word. I want you to stand to your feet with us this morning. I just love that. The real word is sounding itself out. You don't have to add to it, and you don't have to take away from it. All you got to do is say what it says. You believe that this morning? Aren't you thankful for a pardon? Aren't you thankful to be back in the hour of Jubilee? Where we're not hearing man's ideas, man's interpretations. But the truth is, the word has set you free. And I can say to you what Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over me, over you, for ye are not under the law, but you're under grace. Grace. Aren't you thankful for it? Grace. God's amazing grace. It's a pardoning grace. If you can accept it, you can go free. How many this morning can say, Lord, I accept this pardon. I accept this pardon. I accept it for my life. I accept it for my family. I accept it for my home. I accept it for my church. I accept this pardon. God bless you. God bless you. It's pardon and grace. Come into this age to find you, to release you, to release you from the fear of tomorrow, to release you from what the future holds, to release you from the fear of what the future holds, to put you into a place of confidence, put you in a place of assurance. You know, heard it said one time like this: because he lives, all fear of death is gone. Do you know we're a really peculiar, odd people? Do you realize that? We're really odd. You say, why do you say that, Brother Andrew? Because, Brother Doug, the oddness about us is you start preaching on the rapture and we start shouting. We start waving our hands and rejoicing and just crying our eyes out, thanking God for the revelation of the rapture. Now, you go in some churches and start preaching on the rapture and they get scared to death. But you know why the bride can shout when the rapture's preached? It's because she received a pardon. And in that pardon was wrote, there's a rapture because of you. In that pardon was wrote, when you received the Holy Ghost, the rapture was in you then. In that pardon was wrote that some morning between 6 and 9, there's going to come a cold sweep over your body and you're going to be changed. The sun is risen. The pardon is in effect. The emancipation, the proclamation has been signed, and you're free. You're free. Won't you bow your hearts with us this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace here this morning. Lord, we thank you for this jubilee, Lord. Father, we thank you because we've been elected, Lord, to see this revelation. And that revelation has caused a jubilee. That revelation has caused a victory day. That revelation has caused us to climb up on the top and look at the rising of the sun. Lord, when that sun arisen, Lord, the words of that emancipation proclamation come into flesh. When the sun is up, you're free. All the slaves are free. Lord, the sun is up this morning. Lord, I pray if there be one here this morning that's working under the taskmasters of depression. Lord, they're out of their position, Lord. They're working under the taskmasters of anxiety or suicidal devils. Lord, if they're working under the taskmasters of cancer, that old taskmaster's trying to drive their faith in the ground and beat them down with high blood pressure, sugar, diabetes, whatever it be, Lord. Father, I pray this morning, dear God, I pray that your grace and your mercy, I pray your grace and your mercy, Lord, would overshadow every son of God here this morning. And Lord, as this real word has sounded itself out, may they hear that real word, Lord. And may they receive a revelation of their freedom. May they hear the jubilee trumpet sound this morning. And may they begin to say what the emancipation proclamation of the word has said over their life. We're free. Oh God, let those words move their way into every heart here this morning. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. We love you today, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, with every head bowed and every eye closed, can you just raise your hands to him? Can you just say, Lord, I receive my pardon this morning. I receive the sound of jubilee. I receive the freedom. I'm going back home to my family. I'm going back home to my loved ones. I've had a jubilee. I'm in a jubilee. I'm headed for another jubilee. It's the hour of jubilee. Come back to that real Holy Ghost. Come back to that original inheritance. Come back to that original beginning. Come back to that love, that first love. Come back to when you first fell in love with Jesus. And every day was new. Every service was a revival. Every song was fresh. Every sermon was fresh. Come back this morning. Come back to that place of rededication, Lord. Father, I rededicate my life to you. You fathers, won't you rededicate that family to him this morning? Maybe in your home it's got a little stale, a little stagnant. Say, oh God, I receive a re-outpouring of your spirit this morning. Lord, I'm not seeking emotion. I'm not seeking feelings. I'm not seeking sensations. But I'm seeking a revelation from your word. Oh yes, emotion will come with it. Yes, feelings will come with it. But Lord, I want to establish my family upon the real word sounding itself out in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to establish my future on this Jubilee hour, on this Jubilee trumpet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.